Well, good afternoon, everyone. And here we are at program number 70 in Letters on Occult Meditation, letter 9. Having finished letter 10 and 11, but now for the new esoteric schools, we're taking a little more time. In addition, there is a lengthy written analysis of what DK said regarding the new esoteric schools. So there's plenty there for you to study. And we have maybe another, then approximately 18, 20 pages in the book until we come to the end of this section. So it looks like we're dealing now with personnel and the faculty of the school and the types of building. We deal today with that portion of our third point in the letter on future schools of meditation, which deals with the personnel of the school. This will be interesting because naturally some of us will hope to be working in these schools, receiving instruction in these schools when the right time comes, and maybe going on to teach within, I think all we can anticipate maybe is the preparatory schools, which will appear when the great Lord again makes his reappearance. So personnel of the school, this term includes those who supervise and those who are under supervision. And the subject is necessarily large. But at least we'll have some indications. As said in the earlier parts of this letter, the school okay. I want to make sure here that we have something just expanded there. So the schools will be in two divisions wherever they may be situated. A, he's repeating, a preparatory school for the earlier grades in occult instruction and situated preferably near some large expanse of water and near some central city. The types of interactions which can go on there are needed by students at that particular grade, and they learn how to know themselves through those interactions. So much will be directed towards the microcosm, understanding the personality and its relationship to the soul, not so transcendental into the larger picture as will be the advanced schools. And an advanced school for the later grades, which will definitely prepare the way for initiation. The pupil trains in occult lore. So the ancient stories and methods and what has been handed down for a long time come to the student in these advanced schools. I'm going to lift this up just a little bit. Okay. And, you know, more in the mountainous regions, more remote, less subject to interruption as deep subjective work must be accomplished. One can imagine a location, a mountainous location from which one could look out over the sea. It would be kind of an ideal situation. As you will consequently see, the personnel of both schools will necessarily differ, as will the curriculum. Okay. And at least we can get a clear idea of what the personnel will be so that we do not over-eagerly anticipate or imagine that advanced schools have precipitated and that somehow we are members of them. It's even the preparatory school has a very demanding requirement or demanding requirements for those who will enter, much more so than today when students of occultism, spiritual occultism, enter into the kind of training that is available. The bar is relatively low compared to what it will be, of course. When we will deal with each type of school separately and lay down certain fundamentals which must be looked for in instructors and the instructed, so that people do not presume and find themselves thinking they should be where they should not be. The preparatory occult school. Okay. This, to the outer world, may appear not so different from an ordinary college. The differences will not be recognizable at first to the man of the world, though the differences will be there and will demonstrate themselves in the school work to the pupils and on the inner planes. And let's just say here about this, wherein experiences can be expected. The fundamentals as regards the instructors are as follows. Okay. Well, this is just a little bit about the college-like appearance of the preparatory school. The differences will be not be recognizable, except maybe for those who actually enter. And when we look at the curriculum, we will see why this should be. It's easy to anticipate that huge curriculum. We can write about it, but can we deliver it? That is the question. Even today, can we deliver it? What proportion of what is necessary for the preparatory curriculum can we really deliver? The fundamentals about the instructors will be as follows. The head of the school will be an accepted disciple. Well, you know, we had a number of accepted disciples associated with the Tibetan. He accepted them, especially beginning in the group of 24, the new reorganized seed group, which was different from these groups of nine that he was beginning. Even in the groups of nine, I suppose you could say they were accepted, though I don't know if they were technically accepted. The head of the school will be an accepted disciple. And interestingly, so many of those disciples were not yet second degree initiates. So that's something to bear in mind, unless the term is being used in a different way. You can be an accepted disciple, let's say after the midway point between the first and second initiation, and certainly after the second initiation, if your fate is that. He already explains that many go on to accomplish in their own way, who are not having the type of relationship with the master whereby he would accept them. It's oftentimes a karmic relationship from the past based on long association. But we can see a disciple of some standing, certainly having taken the first initiation, and probably, I would guess, very close to the second. It is essential that the master, who is back of the work of any particular school, note that, because all these schools have the master backing it up, you know, standing behind, even if not so obviously the case. Should be able at all times to tap the consciousness of that school as focused through such an accepted disciple. Because the master ultimately has a very considerable responsibility with respect to any school under his high supervision. The head will be able to act as a medium of communication between the students and the master. The head, in a way, as an outpost of the master's consciousness, will be able to act as a medium of communication, an intermediary between the students and the master, and as a focal point for the master's force, for his force to flow through them. Flow through to them. Okay. So a very responsible position this head must hold. He must be consciously able to function on the astral plane at night and to bring the knowledge through to the physical brain, for part of his work will be with students on the astral plane, guiding them to the master's ashram at certain intervals for specialized work. He will have to train them too in this conscious functioning. So immediately, a high requirement. Now, of course, some of this functioning was commonplace in Atlantean days, or at least the ability to be awake on the astral plane at night. But this is specialized, detailed, responsible work. It's not just following one's whims and desires on the astral plane. Okay. Under him will work six instructors, of whom one at least must be a conscious clairvoyant. One thinks particularly of the sign Virgo as important for conscious mediumship. And maybe for, you know, the type of voluntary clairvoyant, not an involuntary one, and able to assist the head, maybe who is not a conscious clairvoyant, with his information as to the auric development of the students. So, six instructors, and again, the seventh. We note that number seven is very important. It was important in a negative sense regarding Hitler and his evil group. You know, add it all together, and there were seven, and they were able to channel a rather merciless expression of the Shambhala force, devoid of love, but not devoid of the magnetism that would attract. So this clairvoyant will be able to help the master assess, you know, if the clairvoyant is real, trustworthy, proven, scientifically trained, so forth. The clairvoyant, he must be able to gauge the colors and the expansion of the student's vehicles and cooperate with the head in the work of expanding and tuning those vehicles. So right away we see something that cannot take place even right now. There's not this kind of trustworthy clairvoyant generally available. These instructors must be on the probationary path and earnestly devoted to the work of assisting evolution and devoted to the service of some one master. So the probationary path, of course, takes us before, to a period before accepted discipleship. And I think I'll just so, you know, the degree of accomplishment is significant, but not overly high, and it is reachable by people who are even now in training for such a possibility. Anyway, these six, you know, I often look at it, take seven pennies, one goes in the center, and the hexagon of pennies surrounds it. That's what fits. The one central point and the six around, and this would be replicated on a high turn of the spiral with Sanat Kumara and the Buddhas of Activity and Esoteric Kumaras, and maybe replicated when we consider the solar logos and the three major logoi. Maybe there would be three others surrounding the solar logos, the one and the six, also connected with the planes, the first plane and the six subsidiary. These instructors. That's what he's calling them. These instructors must be on the probationary path, and every true aspirant has taken the first initiation, so it sounds like they must have taken the first initiation, not the fourth. They must be carefully chosen so as to supplement and complement each other, and in the school will form a miniature hierarchy showing on the physical plane a tiny replica of the occult prototype. When we start reading in Rays and the Initiations, the introduction to Rule 11, we see a similar idea, but more developed at that later stage of the writing of that book. Point number three, that those in the new esoteric groups that are going to take the real initiations have to function as a miniature hierarchy with no jealousy and ambition involved. People just know their place and they know what they can do. And so I suppose, carefully chosen, who's choosing? Maybe the master guides, but the head chooses. And maybe astrology and rheology enter into this. If they're going to complement each other, so enter here. As their work will be largely to develop the lower mind of the pupil and to link it up with the higher consciousness, and as the focal point of their endeavor will be the rapid building in the causal body, they will be men of erudition and of knowledge, grounded in the knowledge of the Hall of Learning, and able to teach and to compete, were it necessary, with the trained teachers of the world universities. So, knowledgeable types. And note, their work is largely to develop the lower mind of the pupil and to link it up with the higher consciousness. And the building in of the causal body by methods that work. So the standard here for an instructor in the preparatory school is high. And, let's see. The lower mind here. And the rapid building in of the causal body. Maybe they have methods, and the master instructs them regarding such methods. Able to teach and to connect with the trained teachers of the world universities, because, you know, such schools could at first be discounted as to their adequacy in comparison with conventional universities, especially, you know, if word travels as to the nature of the training that they offer. So 1 and 6, and an accepted disciple head, maybe having taken the second initiation, but a number of accepted disciples have not yet taken the second initiation. So we get some idea as to the status of the initiate head, but initiate of the threshold head of the preparatory schools. In every college, the work of these trained 7 men, now does he mean men, or, you know, so many things have changed. He's told us to keep the personnel largely masculine, but, you know, those were older days. And there are certainly equally qualified women. So is he making a discrimination there? Or is he just using the term men in a general sense? In every college, the work of these trained 7 men will be aided, now he goes on, by that of 3 women chosen for their capacity to teach, for their intuitive development, and for the spiritual devotional touch they will bring to the lives of the students. So he does seem to be separating out the capacities of men and women, but he is including the women as teachers and as intuitives, and as able to access devotion more easily. At least that's the way he saw it at the time. The masters are always adapting according to the progress made by humanity. So here's a 10. Wherever there's a 7, there's a 10. To these 10 teachers will be entrusted the work of grounding the the students in the important essentials, in superintending the acquirement of the rudiments of occult lore, if not, you know, the main flow of occult lore, such as would be received in the advanced school. The rudiments of the occult lore and occult science, and their development in the higher psychism, more connected with the Ajna Center than the solar plexus. So this is the expectation of these 10. And the reckless lower psychism, in which the individual is often the victim and not the guide of the process, is not focused upon something higher. Is focused upon, I'm recalling, is it BSD? Anyway, it's the very first disciple. His name was Adams. The very first disciple treated in Dyna 1. And he is given psychic training because, and the way that is undertaken is that his Ajna Center is to be stimulated. So the higher psychism is involving the Ajna Center and not run by the solar plexus. These 10 must be profound students of meditation and able to superintend and teach the pupils the rudiment or rudiments of occult meditation, as taught, for instance, in this book. So, you know, in a way, this book is a textbook for the teaching of the rudiments of occult meditation. Again, the bar is high. And much training has to go into the preparation of such a group of 7 and 3, such a group of 10. Occult facts will be imparted to these pupils by them, and the basic laws that in the advanced school will be the subject of basic, of definite practice by the would-be, and I want to say true initiate, I want to say preparing for the third degree. Occult facts will be imparted to these pupils by them. And, you know, it's somewhat theoretical at first, but it will not be by the time the advanced school is entered, will not be theoretical. Because there, definite practice in making those occult facts into experienceable realities will take place. Exercises in telepathy, causal communication, reminiscence of work undertaken during the hours of sleep, and the recovering of the memory of past lives through certain mental processes will be taught by them, themselves proficient in these arts. So once again, the high bar for these 10 instructors. Take a look at these arts. Telepathic, causal communication. So what the causal body knows, or what is known in the causal body, will be known by the communicator and by the one that receives the communication. An accurate memory, reminiscence of work undertaken during the hours of sleep, so one can bring that work through consciously into utility. And another type of deeper reminiscence, the recovery of the memory of past lives. That has to be taught to them first, of course, through certain mental processes. So again, we see why even now these preparatory schools, as they will be, cannot be precipitated. Because those who can do these things in a reliable manner are very few and far between. And I would say of insufficient numbers to be assembled for this type of work of instruction in a preparatory school. And they, these teachers, women and men, will know how to do this. They will be proficient in these arts of recovery. As you will see here, all the teachers will be devoted. He's not afraid to use that word. To the definite training and inner development of the threefold man. So, you know, it is the microcosm that is under development in the preparatory schools. So, you know, if a person has the sense that they may be part of such a training faculty, they'll probably have to be students first of something that will train them to have these qualifications. And even now, they may be under training to build in those qualifications at a future time. Now, under these 10, I guess, will work various other teachers who will superintend other departments of the pupils' lives. Exoteric science will be taught and practiced by proficient teachers, and the lower mind will be developed as much as possible, I would say, in the right way. Right now, it's so often a source of blockage with regard to the higher impressions. So as much as possible, but in the right way, which is not obstructive. And kept in check by the other 10 teachers who watch over the proportional development and the aptitude for the correct meditation of the students. So let's just say we have a situation which is not strictly academic. Right now, you know, teachers in colleges, they don't consider the whole human being, and they really are simply responsible for their subject, but imparting their subject. But we have something different in the preparatory school. And supervision. These other teachers, various other teachers, are supervised by the 10, and the 10, or at least the 9, are supervised by the head, and the head is supervised by the master, who is behind probably the branch where the teaching is going on, and then, you know, it all goes back to the one fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala. So there's a master behind every particular school, then there's a master behind the branch in which that school occurs, one of the four branches. And then finally, you know, the greatest example of the teaching ray, well, I suppose somehow the Chohans fit in there somewhere. And then the greatest example of the teaching ray on our planet, who is Sanat Kumara. Kept in check, checked upon. So there is much supervision and consideration of the entire student, not just his academic development. Along with this will be the life of world service, rigidly demanded of each and every pupil. It begins as a demand. Whether or not the pupil may seem so inclined towards it, but one would imagine that people at that stage and having entered the school after a due assessment by those who admit such students would be inclined to fulfill in service as much as possible that was learned. And this life of service will be carefully watched and recorded. Everything careful. It's almost as if important methods used in the Tibetan universities, which can be considered in a way prototypical, are being applied here to these new preparatory schools of meditation. One thing to be noted here is that in this, there will be no compulsion. The pupil will know what is expected of him and what he can, what he must do if he is to pass on to the more advanced schools. and the school's charts recording the condition of his vehicles and his progress and his capacity to serve will all be available for his personal instruction, though to no one else. He, you know, it's almost the way DK was writing his letters. He was careful that he did not make the challenges that every student was facing public property. Or if he did speak of a challenge, he did so with forethought and deliberation, thinking that it could help the others. He will know clearly where he stands, what he must do, what remains to be done, and it rests then with him to aid the work by the closest cooperation. So again, Master DK does not compel. Sometimes when you deal with first-rate masters, they seem to come closer to the idea of compulsion. You know, the idea when I say run, run, when I say jump, jump, when I summon you, come here, you know, these are orders, we might say. And they seem to apply more to those on the first ray. But on the second ray, no. He's never compelling. He's incentivizing. He's offering a definite opportunity for a student to make progress if the student will only follow his instructions. And it must be of a sometimes disappointing nature to watch how students reject their opportunities, do not carry out proffered opportunities. So again, much responsibility on the part of every student who is aware of his own condition and what he must do. But we don't make, apparently, everybody's business, everybody else's business. And all of this tells us it'll all be available for the student's personal inspection, but not to anyone else. That could only cause interference, disturbance, even, you know, inappropriate conversation, gossip, and so forth. A certain amount of care will be taken in the admittance of pupils to the school, and this will obviate the necessity of later removal for inability or lack of interest. But this I will deal with later when taking up the grades and the classes. Yeah, I just get the sense that some of the best practices that can be transferred from the East to the West are being applied here, brought forward, shall we say, for future application. I imagine that in the Tibetan universities, things are quite tough, but of a nature not dissimilar to what will occur in the West when the schools, even the preparatory schools, can at last be manifested. You have therefore, and he's summing up, you know, as any good teacher does, 10 superintending teachers, composed of 7 men and 3 women, including a head who is an accepted disciple. And under them will work a set of instructors who will deal primarily with the lower mind in its and in the emotional, physical, and mental equipping of the pupil and his passing into the advanced school in a condition to profit by the instruction there imparted. So this is the first level of responsibility. And involved here are 10 plus however many it takes to cover the kind of curriculum which is offered by the Tibetan. So we don't know how many instructors there are, but they are superintended as the 10 teachers are superintended by the master who is the school sponsor, in a way, subjectively, and maybe by the Chohan behind the master. And finally, by the greatest example of the teaching ray upon our planet, which is, or who is, Sanat Kumara. Here I would point out that I have planned out the ideal. You know, we can't get overly obsessed concerning numbers. When we do, we put our emphasis upon externals. And for a while, the ideal may not be reached as we try to sustain other ideals regarding the qualifications of who may be available. So what's pictured here is the school as it is hoped it will eventually be. But as in all occult development, the beginning will be small and of little apparent importance. So he's telling us not to hold too rigidly to the form which he has presented. You can imagine people getting quite obsessed with the numbers and the specific duties and so forth, so that they try to do in the beginning what cannot be done in the beginning, but maybe later, yes, maybe later there can be fulfillment. In any case, not to look for dramatic results in the beginning, and to keep things small and qualitatively under control. That's the most important thing, this qualitative control, I would say, whether the exact numbers can be fulfilled or not. And tomorrow, he says, we will take up the rules governing the admission of students and the personnel of the more advanced school. Whichever school it may be, appearing sooner or later. You know, certain of the advanced schools may appear even centuries before later advanced schools, and maybe the same is true for preparatory schools. But one of the methods of bringing the hierarchical understanding to more and more human beings is through these schools, these banded esoteric organisms. And of course, the church will be equally as important in Masonry as well, though maybe there are fewer of those who are specifically training on the first ray, the kind of training which Masonry will offer. I think if the program is to be approximately an hour, this may be a good place to stop. So here we are getting ready then to begin program 71. What will it be about? The personnel of the advanced school. Okay, well, we're not exactly putting the cart before the horse. I think we understand that every preparatory school must lead to the possibility that the students will enter an advanced school. And thus it is even in our conventional universities. When you finish your bachelor's degree, you don't necessarily go away and you don't necessarily go away before you can take your master's degree. And when you finish your master's degree, so to speak, well, sometimes PhD programs like you to move on and try a different university location, but not necessarily. So the chance to take the preliminary education and move on to the still more advanced methods of education is offered even today. And I think that's the way it will be. And that's why it's quite important for an advanced school to be in process of emerging in connection with a preparatory school. It's not always the case. And for some of the preparatory schools, one will not have an immediate advanced school to go to unless one goes to an already established school, advanced school somewhere else. That too may be possible. Suppose that the student is ready for an advanced school, but the advanced school associated with his preparatory school is not yet extant, is not yet functioning. There probably will be other opportunities offered from advanced schools that appeared more rapidly after the founding of the preparatory school associated with them. But all those things, you know, lie pretty far in the future. Suffice it to say, for the willing student, for the capable student, for the rightly motivated student, there will always be opportunities for education of the kind that befits his or her present level of spiritual occult development. But as I said, you know, there's so much of a victory that has to be achieved over the present dweller on the threshold of humanity, that focused as it is in a rebellious personality, seems to want to hold back entrance, the right kind of entrance into the Aquarian age. So first we have to get through that. And then these other possibilities will appear. And hopefully we will have the kind of memory brought through, the kind of reminiscence of past lives, which will be useful in guiding us in correct decisions. It's always possible to make many mistakes if we function impulsively and without due consideration. And part of that due consideration to make our decisions more and more accurate is due consideration of the experiences that we have been through but have forgotten as we drink of the waters of the river of forgetfulness, Lethe. Okay, so hopefully a bit more today we'll be able to take up the personnel of the advanced schools. Meanwhile, lots of love, lots of love, many blessings, and let's take advantage of that which has been offered to us so generously. We who are so much in need of this offering. So we'll see you soon.